Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 4 of the story, adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. When Michael Strogoff, traveling under the name of Nicholas Korpanov, decided to offer his protection to Nadia Fedor, also journeying to Irkutsk, his motives were twofold. Firstly, he wished to protect the girl from the rigors of the trip. And secondly, he realized that she might be of use to him in his long journey across Siberia. Nicholas Korpanov, merchant, might be suspected as a courier of the Tsar if he traveled alone. But Nicholas Korpanov, accompanied by his sister, would undoubtedly be received with far less suspicion. So it was that at precisely 12 noon on the 17th of July, the merchant and his sister boarded the Caucasus and took up a position in the stern of the vessel. Soon the warps were cast off and the journey began, and the city of Novgorod began to slip by them as they broached the broader reaches of the river.
Are you also on board this vessel? You whom I met at the Imperial Ball in Moscow and barely glimpsed at the streets of Novgorod.
Yes, it's me.
Well, really, I did not expect to be so closely followed.
Indeed. Oh, I'm not following you, sir. I am preceding you.
Precede? On the contrary, my dear Blunt. Let us march abreast, keeping in step like two soldiers on parade. And for the time, at least, let us agree that one shall not pass the other.
I'm afraid that, like a soldier, I must let duty override personal feelings. I shall pass you.
We shall see, my dear Blunt, when we reach the theater of war. Until then, let us be traveling companions. Later, we shall have both the time and the occasion to be rivals.
Rivals we shall certainly be. Even, perhaps, enemies.
Ah, Mr. Blunt, there is a precision in your choice of phrase. I like it. At least one knows where one stands.
That is to the good, I think, Monsieur Jolivet.
Indeed it is. Would you mind if I state our respective situations?
Not at all.
Well, you are going to Perm like me.
Like you.
And probably you will go from Perm to Ekaterinburg, since that is the best and safest route to cross the Ural Mountains.
Probably.
Once past the frontier, we shall be in Siberia, in the midst of the invasion.
We shall.
Ah. Then will be the time to say, each for himself and God
for me.
For you, all by yourself. Ah, well, since we have a whole week of neutral days before us, and since it is very certain that news will not shower down upon us by the way, let us be friends until we become rivals again.
Your hand on that, Monsieur Jolivet.
Oh, in passing, I might mention that I was able to telegraph the very words of the Novgorod order to my cousin Madeleine at 17 minutes past 10, precisely.
And I sent it to the Daily Telegraph at 13 minutes past 10, precisely.
Bravo, Mr. Blunt.
Excellent, Monsieur Jolivet.
I will try and match that.
It will be difficult.
Nevertheless, I shall try. Good day, Mr. Blunt.
Good day, Monsieur Jolivet.
You are going to Irkutsk, brother?
Yes, sister. We're traveling to the same destination. Wherever I go, you shall go.
I am very grateful to you, Nicholas Korpanov. Are you curious about me?
It is none of my business.
Tomorrow I shall tell you why I left the shores of the Baltic to go beyond the Ural Mountains.
I ask you nothing, sister.
But you shall know. A sister should hide nothing from her brother. But I cannot today. I have suffered fatigue, sorrow.
Will you rest in your cabin? Come, I'll take you there.
Brother, what is it?
That man. A tall, thin man with a dark face.
But he is a passenger. I have seen him several times since we embarked.
His name?
I do not know. Oh, brother, you frighten me.
I'm sorry. Come, I'll take you to your cabin. It's this way.
And even at 6 rubles a bottle, it is excellent wine. It is genuine Pekoe, mellowed from the fresh sap of the birch trees of the country.
At 6 rubles a bottle, my dear Jolivet, any wine is excellent. Which helps to make drinking so much more pleasant.
The thin, dark man with his companion. Foreigners, obviously. They're very talkative. And inquisitive, too, if my host in Novgorod was to be believed. I must watch out for them, since they're probably following the same route as I am. Yeah, I shall keep them at a distance.
How beautiful it is at night.
Very beautiful.
Brother, this morning I told you that I would tell you my story. I was going to tell you tomorrow, but I have slept well and I feel strengthened.
I'm listening.
My name, as you are aware, I think, is Nadia Fedor. I am the daughter of an exile. My mother died at Riga scarcely a month ago, and I am going to Irkutsk to join my father and share his exile.
Since I am going there also, I shall thank heaven if it enables me to give Nadia Fedor safe and sound into her father's hands.
Thank you. Tell me, Nicholas, how were you able to leave Novgorod after the police order came out?
I carry a document which was made out by officials who foresaw that such an order would be necessary. The Russian authorities cannot hinder my progress.
I had a permit which authorized me to go to Irkutsk, but the police order at Novgorod annulled it. If you had not proffered help, I should have perished there.
You are very brave to have even attempted the journey across the steppes.
The Tatar invasion was not known when I left Riga. I did not learn the news until I reached Moscow.
And notwithstanding that, you carried on?
It was my duty.
Why was your father exiled?
He was a much esteemed physician in Riga. One day the police came. They said that he had been connected with a secret society in the city. He protested, but it was no use. They had an order with them which bade him start for Irkutsk without delay. They escorted him beyond the frontier.
And your mother?
She died a year and a half later. I had no money, nothing to live for in Riga. So I asked permission to join my father in Irkutsk. This the authorities allowed me to do. Now I am on my way. Thanks to my brother, Nicholas Kopanov.
It was a fortunate meeting. We shall go by Kasan and Perm, leave this vessel there, and then take the great stage road through Ekaterinburg and Tiumen. There are relays well supplied by the government, and my papers will help us to obtain the best post horses available. Shh, Nadia. Listen.
Sent a courier. Sent from Moscow to Irkutsk.
I have heard.
Either this courier will arrive too late, or he will not arrive at all.
It is better that he does not arrive at all.
True. If we should chance to meet with him...
I will be on the alert. If there is a courier, I shall smell him out and eat him.
It is your business, Petrov. That courier must not reach Irkutsk.
Nicholas, what were they saying? I could not understand the language. It was the gypsy tongue, was it not?
Yes, they were gypsies.
But why did you bid me hush? Were they talking about us?
No, I'd heard the voice of the first before. in Novgorod. He was a gypsy. But it's nothing, Nadia. A mere coincidence that intrigued me.
Oh.
Come, it's time for you to return to your cabin. You must get some sleep.
But I do not want...
Come, Nadia.
Yes, Nicholas. You will try and sleep.
No, I'll stay up on deck. I don't want to sleep. I must not sleep.
Dear Jolivet, I thought you would be left behind in Kazan.
Oh, no matter. My cousin would have allowed me to charter a boat or hire a horse. Oh, what could I do? It was such a long way from the quay to the telegraph office.
Ah, you found the telegraph office.
Exactly, my dear Blanc.
Is it still working to Caliban?
I could not say. But I can assure you it is still working from Kazan to Paris.
You sent a dispatch to your cousin.
With enthusiasm.
What have you learned?
Something which the readers of the Daily Telegraph will hear from Paris in the morning. The Tatars, with fearful Khan at their head, have passed Semipolatinsk and are descending the Irtysh River. What do you think of that?
Descending the Irtysh? Which means that soon the route to Omsk will be cut, and all the towns beyond, right to Irkutsk.
So evil tidings of the great Tatar invasion reach the river steamer. What will Michael Strogoff do now? And what of the strange gypsies who are also on board the ship? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar.